Well, we want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody tonight, all those who are watching online, and of course the weather outside is frightful, but inside of here it is so delightful, and how'd you like that? That was pretty good off the cuff, wasn't it? Huh? I thought it was pretty good, yeah, but it's good to have folks not only in the auditorium, but also those who are watching online with us, and we're glad that you've joined us tonight for our continued study through the book of Ezekiel. And before we get into the study tonight, I just want to share some prayer requests with you, and just to kind of keep them in front of you. Let's continue to pray for, of course, Brother David Ellenberg and Miss Marla. We want to continue to lift them up to the throne of grace, and those that are still recovering from different procedures, and I think ones that have had some procedures done or about to the end of their recovery journeys through rehab and those type of things. And so I know they're looking forward to that. But let's also pray for those that still have some things scheduled. And as we look at this time of year, and let's just pray for each other for safety on the roads and different things. And as folks will be doing some traveling, let's just pray that everybody will remain safe and God will protect everyone. And as we continue to gather and to worship together here, let's go to the Lord in prayer then. And we'll lift up these requests and then we'll get in to the study. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. And Father, just for your grace and for your mercy. Father, as we consider you and who you are, Father, may we stand in awe of who you are, Father, understanding and realizing that nothing exists without you. And Father, we just are so thankful for the opportunity that we have, Father, to be able to love you back because of your great love for us. Father, we thank you for the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, Father, and that you sent your Son to take our place. And Father, may our hearts just continually be a heart of thanksgiving. May we offer up thanksgiving, Father, on a continual basis as we consider what we have in our relationship with you. And so, Father, we pray for the request tonight for each one of them. We pray that you would minister to their hearts. You would provide what is necessary and needed at this time and at this moment in their life. And Father, that they would look to you and draw from you the strength that they need each day in their lives. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would go before us now as we continue through the book of Ezekiel, as we look at the words of the prophet. Father, as he relays them to us from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Father, may we take them, Father, and hide them in our hearts. And Father, as we look at each day and we look at things that are coming in the future, things that are ahead of us, Father, may we understand and realize, Father, just how quickly the moments are fleeting today. And may we be found faithful to what you've called us to do. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right. I told y'all we were going to make a major transition tonight, which is what we're going to do. It's a major transition in the book of Ezekiel as we move from chapter 32 into chapter 33. Matter of fact, if you were to put a theme on chapter 33, the theme of chapter 33 would be this as we make the transition. Basically, it would be the watchman and the fall of Jerusalem. All of that was prophesied, all of those things that we've been through thus far, we're going to come kind of to the climax, to the ultimate fulfillment of it in under, of course, Babylon, the destruction of Jerusalem, and then we see the watchman as well in chapter 33. And let me do this for you tonight. I'm going to take 33 and take the chapter and divide it up for you, okay? And I want to divide the chapter up for you into three pieces, all right? And so let me give you those three pieces real quickly tonight. The first section is verse 1 through verse number 9. Right? And in that first section, it's what we call the warning to heed the watchman. In other words, to listen to the watchman. The watchman that is set on the wall. And to pay attention to the words and the warning of the watchman. Right? Number 2 is actually from verse 10 through verse 20. Is the next section of chapter 33. And that is the exhortation or the challenge to turn from evil. And that is verse 10 through verse number 20. So it's an exhortation or a challenge to actually turn from evil. And then number 3, or the third part of chapter 33, is actually verse 21 through verse 33. And the title of the third section is this. It is Jerusalem's Fall and Israel's Failure to Heed. It is Jerusalem's Fall and Israel's Failure to Heed. And chapter 33 is one of those. And here's some things that you're going to draw out of chapter 33 when we get into it in its detail. Looking at the three divisions of chapter 33, there are four things that we can draw from there tonight, and one of them is found in verse number 11. If you look at verse number 11, there is a desire and a plea of God Himself, and that is that all people should live. When you look at verse number 11, "Now as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, verse 11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live." So you see that? God's desire is for them to live, not to die. The next one is found down in verse number 12, and that the new kingdom would be populated by those who enter by choice as individuals. Look at verse number 12. "And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin." So basically it's by choice here of whether or not you will listen to the things of God and choose that path or not. And then the third one is found in verse 14 through verse 16. And basically we find here the conditions for entering into the kingdom. That's verse 14 through verse 16. And then the fourth one is individuals are free to choose repentance or continue their evil lives. And let me say this to you tonight. If there is a single passage of Scripture in all of the Bible, okay, that is clear when it comes to individual choice, it's Ezekiel chapter 33. And we see that as it's laid out. It is up to the individual's choice as to whether or not they continue in their wicked and their evil ways, or whether or not they choose to walk in the ways of God. If that were not the case, if there was no such thing as individual choice for mankind today, then why do you need a watchman for on the wall? The watchman was there to provide the warning. And so that warning, as it is given, it is still up to the individual where he chooses to listen to the warning or not to listen to the warning. It's the individual's choice. So let's go to verse 1 through verse 9, and we'll get into chapter 33. I don't know how far we will get through chapter 33, okay, because there is so much here. Not only is there a lot here, but there's also a lot for us to draw from as well. And we're going to go through and take our time in chapter 33 as it sets the stage now as we move through the rest of the book of Ezekiel. Verse 1 of chapter 33. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them. And I want you to make very, I want you to understand very clearly who Ezekiel's speaking to here. It says to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows on the trumpet or the shofar and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, but a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. You notice that? From whose hand? The watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I've appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. This message here that we find in verse 1 through verse number 9, which is actually the first of the three sections of chapter number 33, actually parallels chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 21. And we're going to go over there and look at that, where Ezekiel first was appointed watchman. And see, we need to understand here, this is not the first mention to Ezekiel of being the watchman. Matter of fact, in his beginning call, Ezekiel was referred to, and Ezekiel was also spoken to by God that he would also be a watchman all the way back in chapter number 3. And so if you turn back to chapter 3, and I want you to notice verse 16 through verse 21, because it actually parallels chapter 33. But in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, notice it says, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, I have appointed you a what? A watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Remember what we just read in verse 8 and verse 9 of chapter 33. So you see the parallel here that Ezekiel is the watchman. He is the watchman for the house of Israel. And then you'll notice in verse 18 through verse 21, he goes down through there again and speaks, and basically it parallels everything that we just read back in chapter 33. So let's go back to chapter 33, and we'll pick it up. Now, the purpose of returning to this theme was to make it very clear, and also to show that Ezekiel had been faithful to his assignment, and then to place the responsibility upon Israel because of their failure to heed his warning. It wasn't that Ezekiel was not faithful. It wasn't that Ezekiel had not provided the warning, because when you go through and you look at the chapters that we have been through, all the way up through chapter 32, you'll see this very clear and plain that Ezekiel was faithful in all that Ezekiel was called to do. Ezekiel delivered all the messages, even when they weren't popular to deliver. I mean, I can tell you right now, some of the messages that Ezekiel had to deliver, they're what we refer to as they're not a crowd drawer, okay? You're not going to see large crowds drawn as a result of the message and the warnings that Ezekiel was going to provide. But what we do see is this, that he was faithful to what God called him to do. Now, the death of those who hear the watchman's alarm but refuse to listen, one of the things that we see is made very clear here in chapter 33 is this. It's their fault. Not Ezekiel's, it's theirs. And so when we consider the magnitude of that, let me say this to you tonight. You know, when you go through and you read the prophets, several of the Old Testament prophets that we have, one of the things that God told them right up front, and matter of fact, God told Ezekiel, He said, you're going to deliver this message to them, but they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to heed what it is that you're speaking. And matter of fact, with Amos and Obadiah and some of the other Old Testament prophets, they were told, you're going to go, you're going to deliver this message, and they're not going to listen to you. But folks, listen to me. One of the things that you're going to see here in Ezekiel 33 is this. And this is what we need to understand. It is not our responsibility to bring about results. Our responsibility is to be faithful to provide what God's called us to provide and leave the rest of it up to Him. It is my responsibility to preach the Word, to teach the Word of God from cover to cover, to be true, rightly divide the Word of truth, preach it and put it out there, and it is up to the individual as to what they do with that. My responsibility is to be responsible to deliver the message that I've been called to deliver. And sometimes God changes that message. And sometimes on a given week, as I study and I spend time preparing, there have been occasions sitting right up here when I have no peace about preaching the message that had been on my heart all week long, and when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart and say, what you spent all week studying on is not what I want you to share with the people today. And I will say this to you. Every case, every situation where that has occurred, something happened during the service or at the end of the service that made it very clear that God knew a lot more about the hearts of the individuals who were in the auditorium than I do. I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. Did God know the hearts of Israel? He did. Did He know the hearts of the nations? He did. Does He know what is in the heart of man? He does. And so the messages that were delivered on behalf of Ezekiel were very specific as to what God deemed appropriate and was necessary at that moment in time. Now, a watchman was guiltless if the alarm was sounded but no one responded. But he was guilty of the blood of those who perished if an attack came and the people were not warned. And we saw that in verse 5 and verse number 6. Let me tell you what, the thing that I deal with, I guess, in my life is as a minister of the gospel, is to come to the point one day when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The prayer in my heart and the desire of my heart is when that day comes and I stand at the judgment seat of Christ is to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Just as Paul said, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, I've been faithful to what God's called me to do. The gospel has been at the forefront of what I've been called to do. And I just want to make sure at the end of the day that I've done what God's called me to do. And that should be the desire of all of us. And let me say this to you, by the way, that doesn't just pertain to preachers. All of us who have been entrusted with the gospel, to our families, to our coworkers, opportunities that we have to share the gospel. Watch this. The opportunities that we have to be a watchman and to share the warning of what is coming eventually. Cities. And matter of fact, all of Ezekiel's audience would have been very familiar with what Ezekiel was speaking about, because all of the cities were constructed with towers on the walls where watchmen kept their vigils. So this image and this picture that they have would be something that would be very common to them. They would know about that, because as you travel around in the area, and even when you look at some of the ruins, you will see some of the city, some of the remaining ruins that are there. There were towers in specific places. And guess who maintained and who stayed in those towers? The watchmen. And the watchmen would be there with trumpets or shofars. And those shofars, depending on the way the shofar was blown, depending on whether it was an assembly, whether it was war, or some sort of warning, and they would know what that was. And so the warning was something that was very critical. Now, Ezekiel was divinely called servant, whose trumpet was his message to both Judah and to Jerusalem. It is to his people in Judah as well as in Jerusalem, sounding the alarm to warn of the impending judgment. And it's not like they did not know that judgment was coming. Judgment was coming under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. They were getting ready to enter into Babylonian captivity. Babylonian captivity to the degree that they were going to find themselves in that captivity under Babylon for a period of 70 years. Now, as a watchman, Ezekiel did not use his own powers of observation, but was the channel of divine warning. So where was the warning coming from? Well, if you look at chapter 33 and look at verse number 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them." So we see that over and over and over again. This warning, this message that Ezekiel had to deliver was a divine warning. It was a divine message that had to be given. When you look at verse number 7, "Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me." Ezekiel's message that was delivered to Judah and to Jerusalem came directly as a result of divine giving by God himself to deliver this particular message. And as a watchman, Ezekiel did not use his own power. And matter of fact, one of the most dangerous things that you can do, and even as a minister of the gospel, as a preacher of the gospel, is to attempt to something God's called you to do and to do it under your own power, or to think that you can, because that's when things get dangerous. That's when you're stepping on the wrong area. That's when things can go wrong in a hurry. You better make sure that you stay according to "thus saith the Lord God," because I will say this to you as well. What's important tonight is this right here. Genesis to Revelation. This is what's important. My opinion, and I will fully state and let you know when something that I'm getting ready to relay to you is my opinion versus what the Scripture actually says. Now, God explained that when the prophet delivered the message, he fulfilled his responsibility totally as a watchman, whether or not the people heard or responded. It made no difference. It wasn't about the watchman. What was critical here was the watchman was obedient to what God called him to do. But the decision of the people was based solely on their own individual choice, not on the back of Ezekiel. Warning others of the consequences of judgment, inherent in sin, is never a popular... Listen, I will just tell you, it's not a popular place to be. When you share that judgment is coming, and judgment is coming as a result of sin. And my dear friend, when we see from Scripture and we see in the Word of God over and over and over again, God is going to judge sin. That is not popular. And you know, most people today, when they talk about God, they talk about God as being a God of love, which He is. But oftentimes they won't go to the other side of who God is as well. He's also a just God. He's a jealous God. And there is a day when God's wrath is going to be poured out on the face of this earth. And when that wrath is poured out on the face of the earth, men will suffer under the hand of that wrath. Those who have made the decision to ignore the warning and to ignore the call to change. Well, guess what? Ezekiel is going to experience that as we go on through chapter 33. You know, our responsibility is to warn and to proclaim as persuasively as possible. But, you know, but the way that the message is received is completely and totally beyond our control. It's up to the individual. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. And notice here in Ezekiel 33, verse 10 and 11, as it continues, "Now is for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel." And I want you to notice, one of the things that you should notice here, it's not to the Gentile nations, it's not to Gentiles here. He says, "I want you to deliver this to the house of Israel," specifically Judah, specifically the southern kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem. "And so I want you to say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, saying, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we survive? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" Why will you die? Why will you ignore the warning? Why will you continue to walk this way? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone and watched them just absolutely turn around and walk away from you and say, "No, thank you. I don't want that. I don't have a desire or a need for that in my life"? What does it do to your heart when someone does that? I've had that happen. I understand what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But, you know, it's always when they come back with that "but" at the end of it. And that's where the concern is. Did it bother Ezekiel? I'm sure that it did. Knowing he's going to deliver a message and they're not going to listen, it all boils down to individual responsibility. And if that's not enough, imagine God himself. The very people that God had delivered out of Egypt, set his name on this people, Israel, allowed them to go in, and he led them into a promised land that he made through the covenant with Abraham. And then for them to get into the land of Canaan, and then for them to do what they did in the land of Canaan. And now at this point, as they come to this point, and the warning is being issued by Ezekiel, I mean, the temple has been desecrated. The priesthood is absolutely corrupt. The people have given themselves over to idolatry. They're walking in the ways of spiritual adultery. This is the people. Yes, this is the people that God set his name on and desired to be their king and would lead them. But they went the other direction. You know, the question in verse 10 is answered in verse number 11. As you look at those two verses, this call, and let me tell you something, in verse number 11 is a call to repent. And there's some key words in verse number 11 that give us insight into that. When you look at verse number 11, look down towards the end of verse number 11 where it says, "Turn back, turn back." Basically what that is repentance, so that they could be healed and restored. There was a desire, there was a warning, there was an exhortation to turn back. God took no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he was always careful to warn of judgment and to call for repentance. And I will say this to you tonight. There is, when the judging hand of God comes, one of the things that we find in Romans chapter number 1 and all the way up through Romans, where man is without excuse. The heavens declare the very glory of God and who he is. And so when we consider that, and we consider the magnitude of this and the warning that goes out and the call to repentance. Verse 12 through verse 20. Look at verse number 12. "And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens," and notice the plea here, to say to your fellow citizens, "the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by His righteousness on the day when he commits sin. When I say to the righteous, verse 13, he will surely live. And he so trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity. None of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin, and notice that word turns there. When he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Verse 16. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He shall surely live. Yet your fellow citizens say, the way of the Lord is not right, when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right, O house of Israel. I will judge each of you according to your ways. How can you say that, O house of Israel? How can you make that statement? People who do wicked things are responsible for their actions, but the wicked who repent will be forgiven. It's called repentance. You know, every Jew who ever lived in a walled city knew what Ezekiel was talking about when he referred to the watchmen on the wall. They were important to the city's defense, and they knew that. God had called Ezekiel to be his watchman, and we saw that back in chapter number 3. It was very clear, and it was his task to carry God's warning and declare it to all of the people. The faithful watchman had clean hands. But the unfaithful watchman had hands that were stained by the blood of the victims who died because he did not warn them. And so God lays all of that out. God makes it very clear and very plain what is taking place here. So Ezekiel was a faithful watchman. And what was it? What was the message that Ezekiel delivered? He delivered God's message to the Jews who were in Jerusalem and in Judah and in Babylon as well as in all of this region. So here's what I want you to understand. From Judah, specifically to the city of Jerusalem, as well as in Babylon, because of those who had now been taken captive to Babylon. So this message went across the board, okay? Was to do what? To repent and turn from your sin. What is the warning today? Is to repent and turn from your sin. The warning has not changed. The warning is still in place today. Now, it's interesting when you look at that word turn. It's used 8 times in this chapter, and it describes clearly repentance. When you consider repentance, the discussion in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10 through verse 20, also is a reminder to us of what we saw in chapter 18, verse 1 through verse 32, where Ezekiel explained human responsibility toward God. At the end of the day, my dear friend, it's going to boil down to this, an individual's own responsibility in what you do with God. And I don't know how much clearer it can be made. God's not going to force himself on you. God is not going to force any decision on you. It's our choice of what we do with God. Now, one of the things that we've seen in the book of Ezekiel is this. The Jews had blamed the older generation for what happened to the nation. But Ezekiel made it clear that God didn't punish the children for the sins of their fathers. He said, let me tell you something. It's not because of what they did. It's because of the choice that you've made. And my dear friend, listen to me. At the end of the day, it's not going to be what your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, the choices they made. It's going to boil down to the end of the day, the individual choice that you made in your own life. And so that's what Ezekiel deals with here. Chapter 33 and verse 10, we've looked at verse 10 several times. You know, some of the Jews, when you look at verse 10, were now feeling the pain of their sin like a heavy weight on their shoulders. And day after day, it was beginning to wear away at them. However, now watch this. One of the things that we see very clearly here from chapter 33 is this. Remorse fell far short of real repentance. There's a difference, my dear friend, between remorse and repentance. And what is that difference? Well, remorse includes both the heart and the mind. And we feel disgust and pain, but we don't change our ways. What is repentance? True repentance includes the mind, the heart, and the what? The will. You see the difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse involves the heart and the mind, but repentance involves the heart, the mind, and the will. The will from what standpoint? We change our minds about sin, and guess what we do? We agree with God. And then we turn and walk in the opposite direction from a life of sin to a life that we're called to in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is about. We deliberately turn from our sin and turn to the Lord for His mercy. Verse 23 through verse 29. I need to figure out someday how to slow a clock down, okay? There's just not enough. There's not enough time because there's so much here. Now look at verse 21. Now in the 12th year of our exile, on the 5th of the 10th month, the refugees from Jerusalem came to me saying, the city has been taken. You ought to underline that. The city has been taken. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before the refugees came, and He opened my mouth at the time they came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened and I was no longer speechless. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they who live in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us who are many, the land has been given as a possession. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, You eat meat with the blood in it. Lift up your eyes to your idols as you shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations with each, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Thus you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As I live, surely those who are in the waste places will fall by the sword, and whoever is in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds and in the caves will die of pestilence. I will make the land a desolation and a waste, and the pride of her power will cease, and the mountains of Israel will be desolate, so that no one will pass through. Verse 29 is so key. I want you to notice the words of verse 29. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I make the land a desolation and a waste because of all of their abominations which they have committed. And I don't know about you, but what a sad commentary to the people of God. What a sad commentary to the people of God. Ezekiel 33, verse 23 through verse 39. Matter of fact, in the rest of chapter 33, Ezekiel addressed two groups of people. The first one, he condemned the Jews, of those Jews who remained in the land of Israel, or in Judah, and expected a soon end to the Babylonian captivity. They didn't think it was going to last very long. They thought it would be very short. But we know from the prophet Jeremiah that the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem and Judah would last for 70 years. That was prophesied that it would last that long. And then the next group that he dealt with, he rebuked those who gathered to hear him in Babylon that were there. The people who remained in Judah after Jerusalem's fall refused to acknowledge God's judgment. And we see the questions that were asked of them down in verse 26 and verse number 27. And we see as they responded, you know, back in, when you look at verse, well, I'll tell you, look at verse 25 and verse 26. You know, you eat meat with the blood in it. Wrong-o. It was forbidden by the law. Okay? You don't eat the meat with the blood in it. Right? Now notice what else he says. You lift up your eyes to your idols as you shed blood. Idolatry. Verse 26, you rely on your sword. Let me tell you what. They relied solely and strictly on themselves. Not God, themselves. In their own might and in their own power. You commit abominations and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. You better go back and read the law. And then notice the question, should you then possess the land? They thought surely because of Abraham, under the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham, solely and strictly and entirely because of that covenant, regardless of how they may live, that land belonged to them. God said, whoa, wait a minute. Comparing themselves to Abraham, which they did back up in verse 24, which is exactly what they did, certainly, okay? If Abraham had a right to the land, then certainly, they reasoned, the Jews remaining there had a right to it as well. God said, hold on just a minute. Not so quick. Verse 30 through verse 33, we'll finish. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to each other or to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. Let's go hear what he's got to say. Let's go see what he's got to say. Verse 31, they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people and hear your words. Let me tell you something. It's one thing to draw a crowd. It's another thing to heed the warning. It's one thing to draw a crowd. It's another thing of what we do with the message once it's delivered. What did they do with it? Yeah, let's go hear the message, but look at the middle of verse 31. What did they do? You ready? Here it comes. Nothing. Nothing. But they did not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, notice what God tells Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, he said, by the way, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, and here comes the sad commentary at the end of verse 32, but they don't do what you warned them. Let me tell you something. Ezekiel had developed a popular following among the people who recognized him as a prophet. Matter of fact, they frequently gathered to hear his messages. Let's go hear what the prophet has to say. The people did not put the prophet's words into practice. They were paying lip service to God. You know, it's one thing when it comes to us. We honor him with our lips, but our heart is what? Far from him. With their mouths, they were expressing devotion, but their hearts were greedy for self-gain. But a day of reckoning would come when all of his words of prophecy would come true. Then they would know that he was a prophet. Look at verse 33. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, Then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. They will know. You see, what do we draw from chapter 33? Can we take chapter 33 of Ezekiel and learn from it? We can. So what do we learn from it? Each person will be held accountable for his own actions and his response to the warning from God himself. Let me say this to you today. You're not going to answer for anyone else, and no one else is going to answer for you. Our standard is this. What will we be held to? This. This is what we will be held to. When their day of accountability came, then those hearers of the warning would be forced to acknowledge the prophetic nature and thus the truth of Ezekiel's message. Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem went into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. Did they come out? They did. And that's an interesting account. It's when they left Babylon and went back to Jerusalem. Remember, folks, like, how many of y'all remember some of these names from Scripture, like Nehemiah? How about Ezra and Zerubbabel? All of those who led the exiles back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah's heart was broken when he saw the city because of what had happened. Ezra, they found the scroll, they found the word of God, and he stood, and they erected a wooden pulpit, and he stood and he read from the word of God for 4+ hours, and the people stood and listened. My dear friend, listen to me. There's a day coming. Judgment's coming. The question tonight is, are we ready when that day comes in our own life? Are we ready for that day? Amen. Chapter 33. Oh, hold on. We get to 34. It's just going. Let me tell you, there's an old saying that we used to use in Mississippi. Matter of fact, when I used to sit outside of my mama and papa's country store, used to sit on a Pepsi Cola crate, couldn't wait for the board milkman to get there because he always came. When he came, he always brought me a carton of chocolate milk. I will tell you, they don't make chocolate milk like they used to. But I'd get a carton of Borden chocolate milk, and I would wait then when the meat man came. And when the meat man came to deliver the bacon, he also delivered what we refer to as the old-fashioned beef bologna in the red sleeve. There was no bologna like it, okay, on the face of this earth. And he also delivered the cheese. How many of y'all have ever had a good old slice of old-fashioned hoop cheese? No cheese like it. So I'd talk to my mama. She'd cut me off a big old slice of that beef bologna, and I would take that hoop cheese slice, and I would take that Borden chocolate milk and sit on that Pepsi Cola crate and say, it just doesn't get any better than this. Well, my dear friend, if I could say this to you tonight, the best is yet to come. Are we ready for what God has for us? Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for Ezekiel. We thank you for his boldness. Father, we thank you for his obedience to what you called him to do. And Father, we thank you tonight that we can draw from this message that Ezekiel delivered. And Father, may we take the same warning and Father, act upon it. And act upon it in the positive way. And Father, to examine our own hearts and lives. And are we where we should be and where we need to be. And Father, I pray tonight that we would have a repentant heart, a broken heart. Father, as we serve you each day, understanding and realizing it's not under our ability, it's not under, but it's all because of you and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would dismiss us now tonight to our homes as we leave this place. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.